You know, if God is so great and He loves us, as Billy was saying, if we are each His favorite, is that not awesome or what? The King of Kings, the Creator of all things, has called us His child. That's pretty amazing. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five colored colonnades. Here a great number of the disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. Now I want to stop there for just a second. Depending on what version of Scripture you are reading, you may or may not have a verse 4. Verse 4 is left out of the NIV, which is what I generally preach from. The reason is because verse 4 was not found in the earliest manuscripts of this Scripture. It was found in later manuscripts, and some believe that it was added later and was not really intended to be part of this Scripture. So in my passage, I moved from 3 to 5. A little odd, but I'm going to go right to 5. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Now, I want you to picture that for a minute. 38 years. That is a long time. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Continuing the sermon series that I think this is maybe week 4 or something like that. Jesus the Miracle Man. Jesus the Miracle Man. This week is entitled, "Do You Want to Get Well?" Now, you know, there are actually, it boggles my mind to be quite honest with you, but there are some Christians or pastors even that teach that the miracles stopped with the death of the last apostle. Is that right? Do we believe that?
No.
I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just going to get kind of rude here. That's nonsense. I mean, why did Jesus send us the Holy Spirit? He sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us for many reasons, but one of the reasons was for power. Jesus said, and if you just open up God's Word and just read it, it says that we are to be, as His believers, we are to be clothed with power from on high. And that's the Holy Spirit coming in us, and He enables us to do crazy, miraculous things, church. We don't understand that. We don't really tap into the power that we have dwelling inside of us. I don't believe that we really tap into that the way we can, the power that is available to us. As I prepare for sermons, many times I probably get, and please don't amen this, but I probably get a lot more out of it than you do. But in my study and in my reflection, in my prayer about the message, I'm reminded of things, how God has moved in my own life, and it was that way this week. Quite a few years ago. This doesn't happen to me, every week. So don't think your pastor's having dramatic things like this go on all the time, but it's about 20 years ago, and it may seem minor to you, but as I was reliving the experience this week, it was a major thing in my life. I have a tendency, I don't know where I get this, I think it's the female DNA that was passed on to me from someone, but I get migraine headaches. I get headaches a lot. And I've kind of been a battle my whole life. I know many of you probably battle headaches. But about 20 years ago, the girls were little bitty, and I had one of these migraine headaches. And I was not a pastor at this point. And when they get really bad, it just immobilizes me. I can't function. I went and I just told Cheryl, I said, I've got a bad headache. I'm going to go back in the bedroom and I'm going to lay down. And sometimes if I take some aspirin and put a cold rag on my head and get real still, sometimes I can get it to break. Anyway, that's the state I was in. And I remember I was laying back in the bedroom and I, you know, doing all that I knew to do to try to beat this thing. And it just, I mean, literally to turn my head, rotate my head from one side to the other on my pillow was excruciating. And I remember because the girls were little and Cheryl and I both worked and were busy, and I could hear Cheryl and the girls in the other room playing and having a great time while Dad was in there with this headache. And I remember, do you know that, you hear me say this a lot, do you know that we have an enemy? And we have an enemy, and he doesn't like families. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy us. And I just really sensed in my spirit at that time that he didn't want me in there with my family. He wanted me back there in bondage to this headache. And I just sensed that, and I just began to pray against that. And it's really odd, this passage that we're studying today out of John 5, at the church I was at, we had just had a small group and we just studied that verse that week. And I remember the experience of that passage. And in my heart, I just began to pray, you know, devil, I rebuke this headache and I just want to be in there with my family. And I'm tired of it. And I rebuke this headache and I want the headache to go away in the name of Jesus. And you can, I know what I know. And I know what happened. You can believe it or not believe it. That's your prerogative. But I began to feel a tingling in the top of my head. And when I get this kind of headache, many times I get nauseous. If anybody else had those kind of headaches and you kind of get sick to your stomach and all. And I remember the tingling started in the top of my head and it began to work its way down my body. And as it worked its way down my head, I remember just the pressure and the pain in my head was just going away. As this tingling worked its way down my body, and as it worked through my midsection, I remember the nausea and the feeling that I had began to go away. And it was like this tingling just went right out the tip of my toes. And I'm not, like I said, I don't experience these things often. And I'm laying there in bed, and I'm really kind of, you know, I had prayed it, take this headache away, but I'm kind of freaking out. What just happened here? I remember thinking, man, just really, wow. And I was scared to death to move because I was afraid if I moved, the headache would come back. And I remember in my heart, I just felt like the Lord said, get up, just like he did this man. Get up, pick up your mat, go play with your kids. Go in there and be your dad, be a husband. And I just leaped out of bed. And I ran in the other room and I was able to enjoy my family the rest of the evening. It was just an awesome experience. God is real. He is the miracle man. Now, there's been other times that I've prayed for a headache to go away and it didn't go away. And I don't understand that. I wish I had the answer to that. But I know he did it that day. I know he did it at that moment. And I know he has the power to do it. We're gonna look at this scripture a little closer today, but I want you to understand that these are not hypothetical, you know, make-believe stories that we're talking about. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the miracle man, and he still does miracles today in us. The pool of Bethesda, this took place. I remember in April when I was preaching on a different series, I told y'all a little bit more about that pool, but this is a picture we took when we went to the Holy Lands about 3.5 years ago. And for about 1,800 years after biblical times, for forever, they didn't think that this pool of Bethesda, even people said, this, well, that doesn't even exist. That, I see that. How can that story be real? Because it doesn't even exist. Well, in the 1800s, they excavated this area. Guess what? It's right inside the Sheep Gate at Jerusalem, and there are, it's hard to tell from this picture because it's a pretty big area, but there are pools, and there are, guess what, 5 colonnades in this area. It's, and it's right where Scripture says that this took place in every sense of the word. It's there. They didn't know it was there because it was buried up, but in the 1800s, they dug it up, and lo and behold, Scripture was confirmed once again. So this scripture today, it's, you know, every time we look at one of Jesus's miracles, we seem to be seeing, or at least I do, it's becoming more obvious to me as I work through these miracles in this sermon series, that we seem to have a similar pattern almost every time. And here, and I'm going to quickly just run through what that pattern is. Number one, in this case, the man came to Jesus in brokenness. Now sometimes the people who are, you know, the first week, I believe I talked about the ruler that came and his daughter was dying. And he came to Jesus and he came in his brokenness and he said, "My daughter's dying. Help me." And on Jesus's way to, she actually died and he raised her from the dead. On his way to do that, the woman who had been bleeding for many, many years touched his cloak and she was in her brokenness and she was healed. So it seems to be that there's this, it always begins with brokenness. So I want to say to you, if you are experiencing brokenness in your life, you are a candidate for a miracle from God. If you're experiencing brokenness, brokenness is not fun, but brokenness many times is a very good place to be because it allows God the power and the room to actually move in our lives. In this case, I found this interesting. The one little caveat to this brokenness in this case is the man didn't come to Jesus in brokenness. He's lying there in the midst of his brokenness, and Jesus walks by and notices him. He takes note of him. And this man didn't even, I think, for after 38 years of lying in this same state, he didn't even have the will. He didn't even have the will to voice the need. You ever been there? You ever been there where it's just like, I've asked. As Paul had the thorn in the flesh, I pleaded, Paul says, 3 times that the Lord would take it from me. And God's response was, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." And so this man, he's just lying there in this heap of brokenness and doesn't even have the gumption to even ask Jesus to heal him. And yet Jesus takes note of him. And he responds to him in his brokenness. Second thing, Jesus, and this is the pattern that we see in most of these miracles, that they come in brokenness, Jesus responds in compassion and power. He responds in compassion and power. And the third thing is that we see this pattern, and the man was made whole and God was glorified. Did you know that? I hope that when you hear that story about my headache, first of all, I hope you believe it, but if you don't, that's okay, because I believe it. It happened to me, so I hope you believe it, but I hope that if you do believe it, I hope that it brings God glory. Because, you know, it was just a stupid headache. But to me, it was very significant. I mean, the headache would have passed. It would have passed. They always do. But I knew that God wanted me to have the joy of being with my family that evening. And I wanted the joy of being with my family that evening. And God found me that significant enough. I mean, that was just kind of trivial. Isn't that trivial in the grand scheme of the universe? You know, God's got to keep the world spinning on his finger here. And here he's worried about my headache and me playing with my children. It was significant to me, and he knew that. And God was, I was made whole, and God was indeed glorified. But here's what I want us to take a closer look at with this passage today. And here it is. That question that Jesus asked the man. Do you want to get well? I want that question to soak in for a minute. That kind of comes out of nowhere, doesn't it? Nowhere else in Scripture does Jesus ever ask that sort of a question. Most of the time, people are clamoring to him to ask of him that he would make them well. But in this case, the man is laying there in his brokenness, and Jesus said, do you want to get well? Well, I mean, if I had written the Bible right after that, if I'd been John, I would have said, duh. You know, that probably would have been verse 4 that somebody else put out. Do you want to get well? That's the question. I haven't used if you've been here for very long, you know about my shoulders. I haven't used a shoulder analogy in a long time. It's time. I'm whooping one out on them, Billy. It's time for the shoulder. Well, I hurt my shoulders playing football in high school, and ever since then, that was just, 10 years ago, Cheryl? Something like that. Maybe my math is off a little bit. But for years since high school, my shoulders have been bad, and I've had like 4 surgeries on them, and they come out of socket. I know it's a gross thing, but they come out of socket, and no one here, I don't think, has ever seen it. But it's really, it's painful, needless to say, and it's really a nuisance because, I mean, I can't do a lot of things that I would like to do. If I'm up on a tall ladder and hanging Christmas lights or painting a house or whatever, I have to be careful. Because if my shoulder locks out, you know, and you're kind of leaning this way, and Jordan and I. Sorry, I was full of the Spirit. All those names just flew through my head. Jordan and I went skydiving a couple of years ago. Was it been 2 or 1? 2 years ago. And, you know, everybody else is like, are you crazy? You're jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. You know what I was worried about? You know, you see all these people up there doing this. I was worried I'd go up there and go, and I'd be 10,000 feet in the air, and even doing that kind of scared Cheryl. She's like, don't do that. But I mean, I'm like, oh, this is fun, you know. So I was worried about my shoulder coming out of socket. But here's the deal. The reason I bring up the tired shoulder story again. I had become, and I hate to use the word comfortable, but comfortable with my shoulders. It was just the way life was. Your shoulders stay in socket and mine don't. I mean, I just learned that how to function in the brokenness of my body. I knew that when I put a T-shirt on, I can't put a T-shirt on like you can. I got to start it down here and kind of work it in and do it as carefully. Because if I just put my hands up and go down with a T-shirt, I may have a shoulder come out. Little things. When the girls were little, they spilled a plate of spaghetti on a tile floor, and I'm doing one of these things, and I had my hand down, and I'm cleaning with one hand and propping myself up with the other, and it slipped on the spaghetti, and my shoulder went out, and the girls were little bitty, and they're like, ah! And it's all stuck up in between the leg of the chair and everything. But I had learned. I know. Can you picture it? I had learned that you don't clean up spaghetti like that. I learned you don't put on a T-shirt like that. You don't wash your arm under the shower like that. I had learned things I could do and things that I couldn't do, and I had more or less had gotten comfortable in my brokenness. Kind of like that invalid who had spent 38 years, and he's laying there, and Jesus takes note of him. Did you know Jesus takes note of you? He takes note of our state of brokenness. And brokenness in us, it can look so different for each one of us. It's not always, when I preached about the man with leprosy. Yeah, he had leprosy, a terribly debilitating disease, but what Jesus knew he needed more than anything was a physical touch. because no one had touched him in years. He didn't touch lepers. So Jesus could have healed him at a distance. He could have spoken a word or even thought a thought and healed him, but he knew what he really needed was a touch. What do we really need? What is our brokenness? And I want to just some different things, different ways that brokenness may look. It can have many different faces. It might be a physical illness. It might be loneliness. You know, I talk to a lot of folks that are just lonely. It may be it's depression. Debilitating depression. I got a call this week from a man I used to work with years ago. Good friend. But we've lost touch because his life kind of that way and mine is that way. I got a text this week that he was in Hendrick, had attempted suicide this week. This is a good Christian man. But I come to find out he's been struggling with depression for many years. And I went to see him. Hadn't seen him in a long time. And I went to the ICU and I walked in and he started crying. I mean, there's brokenness all around us. There's brokenness all around us. And maybe it's in us. Illness, loneliness, depression, addictions. Maybe we just think, I just drink too much. That's what I do. That's my daddy did it. My granddaddy did it. That's just what I do. I can't help it. Well, they wouldn't put it on the computer if they didn't want somebody to look at it. Anger, unforgiveness, just purity, old sinfulness, lostness can be our brokenness. Just we don't have a clue that Jesus loves us, as Billy was talking and prayed earlier. We don't have a clue how great and deep his love is for us. We can get very comfortable living in our brokenness, church. It's just the way it is. That's the way I am. I can't beat it. I can't forgive that person. So I'll just go on about my business being broken. So I think Jesus would ask us today, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? You know, can you just imagine the helplessness and the hopelessness of this man who's been in this condition for 38 years? 38 years. Do you want to get well? I want to invite you. It seems like I talk about this all the time, but I don't know if we get it, but. Anybody can act tough. Anybody can act like they got their act together. But the bottom line is, and I know it, and God certainly knows it, we're all a mess. Every single one of us. Because life is hard. I mean, we may be going through a pretty good season and everything, but I mean, it doesn't take, just life can change in an instant. And our brokenness can be revealed so quickly. But we're all the invalid laying on the ground, hopeless and helpless. And Jesus is looking down and he's saying, do you want to get well? So I want to invite you. I want you to be courageous today. I want to invite you, if everybody bow their heads if they would. In just a moment, we're going to come to the Lord's table. You're going to be invited to the Lord's table. And, you know, that is the ultimate place of wellness. But it's also the ultimate place of brokenness. We come to the Lord's table as a broken and needy people but as a redeemed people. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to move on us, to reveal to us what's broken in our lives. Maybe it's just something that we're just sad and we are angry and we don't even really know why. Reveal to us what's broken in us. As the sound team plays a little music, I just want to invite us to come to the altar. If you're, and like I say, I mean, it's okay. If you want to stay in your seat, it's okay. There's no shame. There's no guilt. But I ask us to be courageous today. I'd like to see us three deep at the altar, confessing that we are a mess. And God, we just need you. We need you. We need your mercy. We need you to say, pick up your mat and walk. So I invite you now, if that's you, if that's what you're wanting, your desire of your heart this morning, I invite you to the altar this morning, just as I pray over us. If you're thinking about coming forward and you can't muster up the courage, that's okay. But I invite you. God is passionate about you and he's wooing you unto himself. Father, whether we're at the altar or whether we're in our seats, you ask us the same question. Do you want to get well? And Jesus, I believe you're saying to us, do you want to get well? And we say to you, yes. Yes, Lord, we do. Break our hearts, God. Break our hearts before you because you are trustworthy. You are faithful. We make ourselves vulnerable to you. Because you have proven your great love for us. You took nails for us and you want freedom for us. Just like that invalid that day, you want to say to us, get up. Whatever the brokenness and the stronghold is in your life, get up. Stand up and walk in freedom. Walk in new life. Father, for illnesses, physical illnesses, for loneliness, depression, addictions, unforgiveness, any sin in our lives, anger, sadness, we say yes, we want to get well. And we're asking you because we have nowhere else to go. You're the giver of life. You're the lover of our souls. We praise you. And we pray that we would be different. We drive a stake in the ground right now, today. We drive a stake in the ground and we say, today, right now, at this moment, things will be different. Set us free, O God. And may you receive glory. Make us whole and be glorified in the process. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As some people are returning to their seats, as I said, this meal that we partake of, that Christ invites us to, this meal is a place of brokenness, but yet it's a place of wholeness. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, the night that things were not going well for him, he knew that his friends would betray him, deny him. He knew that his body would be broken the next day. He knew he had seen crucifixions before. He knew what awaited him. And it was in those circumstances that he took the loaf and he looked around the table at those who had been his closest friends. And he said, "This body, this bread is my body, which is broken for you." And then he took the cup. And John the Baptist had proclaimed Jesus as the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the whole earth, of the world. And he blessed the cup and he said, "This cup is now the blood of the new covenant, my blood, spilled for you, poured out for you." And he said, as long as you partake of this meal, and that's us today, 2,000 years later, that's us today. We're still remembering. He said, when you partake of this meal, remember me. Remember that you come in brokenness and you leave in wholeness. I want to invite those who are serving in the praise team and sound team to come forward. The invitation to this table comes from Christ himself. Christ invites all who love him, who have called on his name as their Lord and Savior, and have repented of their sins. You are welcome to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church. You do not have to be a member of our denomination. You are welcome if you have called on the name of Christ as your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sins. You're welcome at this table. We have two stations here and two on the end that you will be given a piece of bread and you'll dip it into the juice and partake, and that's called intinction. In that method, we have the center where you have the individual cups. If you would like to be served in that manner, you can come to the center there. Christ has invited us. Come.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious dear that grace appeared, the hour I first my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rains. Unending love, amazing. Promise good to me, his word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace.
See, my chains are gone.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. Shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever. You are forever.
As we were partaking of the Lord's meal, I just really felt like I needed to invite anyone that would like for us to pray very specifically for any healing in your life to come and gather here after we dismiss. If that's not you, that's okay. If you'll kind of make your way out and be respectful of those who stay. But if you would like for us to pray very specifically for you for a healing, please come and gather here after we dismiss. Jesus said, get up. He said, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. Now go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace, unending.